why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I got a lot going on, folks. A lot going on. Fighting my sniffles. Man, what a night I had last night. I got up in the middle of the night to go. Well, I don't give you the particulars. Got up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom. And man, I just chock full of whatever that stuff was. And my wife put some. I got some essential oils. I got some other stuff I put on last night. Got me hacking and walking through. We got a lot going on. Don't have time to have the sniffles. Thanks for joining us today. It is Friday, the 15th day of 2019. And going to go to Lowell's tonight. Jared, let's go to that schedule real quick. I got a lot of stuff I want to share with you today. I know I say that a lot, but I do. And I want to emphasize we're going to be at Lowell's tonight down in Lancaster. It's not Lowell's. We call it Lowell's. It's actually being held at the Faith Huddle. It's being held at the First Church of God, Dave Helser's church down there in Lancaster. 7:30. If you, it's sort of out, in case you wondered out, if you get lost, it's kind of out by the, Fairfield County Hospital. That's where 6th Street is out 6th Avenue. It's out that direction. Again, bring a sleeping bag if you want to stay all night. Some of you, if you want to come in tonight, excuse me, you can do that. If you can't make it till tomorrow, we start at noon tomorrow. And, it goes from noon tomorrow until noon on Sunday. Great fellowship, some teaching, some food. Folks, this is where we build. This is where we build our huddles and our strength. And sure would love all of you to be able to come. I'm going to speak. David Arthur's going to tell a story. JR is going to tell a story. Russ Howell's going to talk on security. Dinner. Everything's right there, okay? And then two other things I want to make mention of. Right, call Lowell. Let him know if you're going to come. If you don't know how to get hold of Lowell, contact me. I'll have you contact Lowell. The information's there. And excited for that. Want to emphasize again the Occupy conference coming up, and I hate to keep doing that, but we have a drawing. We have a drawing on Monday on the show for five free nights in a hotel. Not everybody's going to get five nights. Well, five individual nights at the hotel. So get those registrations done today, tomorrow. Have to be done by Monday morning when we draw it. We have to still figure out the logistics of how we're going to do that. But that's going to be a great conference. It's a hands-on conference. We're going to train and teach it. Bradley Dean has now agreed to be part of it, so we've added him to it as well. Got some great speakers. It'll be good. Good hands-on stuff. Tom Dunn, Mark Trump, yada, yada, yada. Mike Spaulding, Chad Estes, Russ, Mark Harrington. God bless Mark Harrington. Don't forget, if you're going to go to Dallas, you want to be part of the Hear the Watchman event in Dallas. And you want to help serve as the altar crew or whatever, got to contact me. See, some of you have told me, I asked you the other day, email me if you're going to come, and some of you didn't do it. I know some of you who are coming, but you didn't email me. Tell me. So remind me. So if we get there and you don't have a ticket, say, oh, golly, coach, I'll say, I forgot, man. I forgot. Well, email me and I won't forget, okay? That's Hear the Watchman. It's a great event, March 28th through 21st down in Dallas, Texas. And then get this on your schedule, will you? The big event coming up in the summer. It's really our yearly, what do we call that? It's our yearly team huddle. Yeah, game day weekends, what we're calling it. It's our national event. It's going to be held here in Columbus. It's Father's Day weekend, June 14th to 25th. There's a lot of information there, and we'll populate that and get more information to you, but we're going to. It's where we take guys in the street and teach them how to do ministry, and they get to know each other and boots on the ground, and it's all good. You can camp, you can stay in a hotel, we can throw mattresses down someplace. So we can make it as cheap as you want to be or as expensive as you want to be. You can pull a trailer in there. A lot of great stuff going on. So I think I've cleared up my schedule. I'm noticing over here, I keep looking over here. Happy to announce, I guess happy would be the right word. We're going to begin. Those of you watching right now, if you're on your computer or not on your computer, go to Before It's News. Before It's News. And there's no apostrophe or anything in there. If you'll see beforeitsnews.com, I can tell you, give you a lot of information. I had a great conversation yesterday with the guy who runs Before It's News. And they're right now streaming yesterday's show, I believe. At least on my screen it is. But they're going to start streaming live every day this show. And if you look at Before It's News, if you look up on the right-hand corner there, Jared, it says what? 1,055,321,560 unique visitors. That folks, that's a bunch of folks. This is a big website. It's a great opportunity for us, and they believe in us and believe what they're doing. The website's just changed hands. Some changes coming at that website, but please make that a regular visit for you. A lot of the content on probably in the process of changing because the owners have changed hands. But we're going to be there every morning. Another place where you can find us, beforeitsnews.com. Right now, they're streaming live yesterday's show. I believe it's, I don't know if it's yesterday's or not. I don't remember what clothes I wore yesterday. It looks like yesterday's show. So praise the Lord for that. Another opportunity. I really believe it's important for us folks, cross-pollinization. And as Vic said before we went on the air, something's happening here. Something's going on, man. There's something. Something really, really is going on. And I wish I could put a finger on it. I wish I could tell you what it is. But I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. Cool? It is Flea Flicker Friday. I feel like Rush Limbaugh because he always calls it Open Line Friday, and then he never opens the lines. And it is Open Line Friday, but I want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that we discussed yesterday. And I think it's important to get there. But before I do, bear with me with my sniffles. Anybody want to jump in here? Anybody want to jump in here real quick before I dive into some stuff I think is important? Don't have to. Cool.
All those people that died down there in Kiwi land.
Right.
That's part of the agenda now. I don't know if it was two or three. I know that for sure I saw 40 last night. And 47. Or 27 killed and 40 injured. But, I mean, it's a crying shame that these guys value life so little, and they go down and they do their little deals to try and take away the guns and distract. And
Victor, listen to me. It's demonic. Look, it's demonic. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to share it with you guys, but I wrote the commentary on Thursday that says the devil is real. And it went a lot of places on the internet, and I really believe that that is really kind of, pardon me a second, I really believe that's part of the of what we're dealing with. I don't think people believe in good and evil. I think we believe in good and evil. I think people believe in God, but I don't think they believe in the devil. Not in a true sense. I don't believe they do. And I started out, I got a lot of pushback, and I got a lot of pats on the back. I asked a simple question. When's the last time you heard a sermon about devil and the wiles of the devil and how to fight the devil in your church? Roger in here? Roger, when's the last time you heard about that, Roger, in your church? A sermon on Satan, his devices, how his goals, how we're supposed to fight him. You heard any of that, Roger? Anybody heard that in their church?
No, and, Coach, no.
Well, then how would we even know? How would we even believe that he's real, see? Would we even, I'm telling you. So therefore, when we hear about stuff like, dare I say it, spirit cooking and child sacrifice and satanic ritually abused, see, we think the devil's just like the Easter Bunny. We don't think that force of darkness, Beelzebub, Lucifer, prince of the power of the air, the dark night. We don't believe in that, see? And so as a result, people are so caught off guard when they see evil beginning to spread as violently and quickly as it is. We think it's just people who are what? Ignorant? Angry? And don't understand how the unnatural, the spiritual realm impacts the natural realm. We don't understand. We don't even talk about spiritual oppression, which oppression is. Demonic oppression is pressure. Okay? Oppression is nothing more than pressure. So you get spiritual oppression from the dark side. Oppression meaning holding you down, directing you the wrong way, discouraging you. That is oppression, oppressed of the devil. But then there's also possessed of the devil, and they're not the same thing. In fact, you can walk into the average church and ask them the difference between oppression and possession. They would look like you. They wouldn't have any idea what you're talking about. And so we watch what's going on in I got a lot of good stuff today. We look at what's going on in Washington, D.C. We don't even understand it's demonic. The average person doesn't even understand that the Prince of Darkness is in control of Washington, D.C. Go ahead, Vic.
The way that people believe is if they see it on the silver screen, they see all those horror movies and all the movies about the devil, they believe it when they see it there, but they don't believe it when they read it in the Bible. And that's right. The biggest difference.
We don't teach about it in the Bible. We don't teach about it. And so therefore, it's hard for us to believe that there are people out there who would actually cannibalize children. It's hard for people to believe that Planned Parenthood, in my opinion, is controlled by deep, dark forces over issues other than just death. Death is part of it, the killing of unborn babies, but there's something far deeper, far more sinister. The transgender movement in our schools and in America is demonically charged and demonically powered. And people, whether, I don't care what it is, there's a dark force at work. Genesis 6, Jared, hold up there real quick. I'm gonna get rolling on this one. Boy, they need to hear this on Before It's News. I wish they were streaming this one live. Well, they need to hear this one. Well, they need to hear yesterday's as well. Genesis 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto. Let me stop a second. Because I wrote yesterday in that commentary, I wrote just about the devil, good and evil. I didn't get into the depth of talking about what's mentioned here. Giants, Nephilim, disembodied. I didn't go there. I just went as shallow as you could be. And you wouldn't believe it was encouraging. The number of people I heard from it said, Coach, don't you understand that demons are disembodied spirits from the... And so they began to tell me in depth what it was, thinking I didn't know it. So I thought, man, this is really, really good. But I said, listen, if I write an article, start talking about the giants and the Nephilim, I'm going to lose everybody. They don't even believe the devil's real. They don't even believe that. And then I'm going to try to tell them that angels came down, had sex with them. We lose them all, right? So we have to get to start somewhere. And first of all, let's start with the idea that the devil's real. Satan is real. Satanist, call him whatever you want to. This deep, dark force is real. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters born, and then the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair and took the wives of all that which were they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Why? Because his spirit's not always going to strive with man because it's being polluted. For that he is also his flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of men came down to the daughters of men, they bare children to them. Same became mighty men, which were old men, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord. Think about that. It repented the Lord that he had made man. And it grieved his heart. Now, listen. I don't see a Nephilim behind every corner. All right? It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the forces of darkness. All right? That's what we're talking about here. There are those. Jared, go to Genesis 4. There are those who want to do evil. There are those who are oppressed by the devil, and there are those who are possessed by the devil. Oppressed meaning influenced by. Possessed means totally taken over. And I would say to you that most of those who are in Washington, D.C., are possessed. I just believe they're possessed of evil spirits.
Amen, Coach.
Wow. No. I was reading the text. Yeah, go ahead.
Coach, I saw a rant on the line the other day by your congressman, O'Brown.
Uh-huh.
And I guarantee you, I watched it really close. And I think I saw a possession in that man. It was evil. It was evil, Coach.
So, Randy, would it be hard to what do we do when we read in the scripture that Jesus went around all the time dealing with a people possessed or oppressed of the devil? It's all throughout. It's all throughout the gospel. How do we deal with that in our theology? How does that line up? Because hang on just a second, George. Because look, the devil's as far as we get with the devil in today's churches, he's after your finances. Oh, the devil's after your health. Oh, the devil's after your children. Oh my goodness, the devil's after your joy. The devil's trying to steal your joy. Don't you understand the magnitude of the battle? And it's so much larger. It's a global conquest that's being taken place, and that the Lord, the devil, has soldiers and principalities and powers and evil. Don't you understand that concept? Don't we understand that he put enmity, which is where it's heading in Genesis chapter 4, he would put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. There'd be the eternal struggle between the devil's seed and God's seed. Don't we understand that? Can't we see that playing out here today in 2019? I see it everywhere I look. And people think I'm crazy because I just see it. It's just everywhere. Go ahead, George.
You know, Coach, the old law of nature says that nature abhors a vacuum. So Right. Something fills it. Well, it wasn't even a contest for those demon-possessed creatures to occupy Washington, because there was no pushback. There was very little to no resistance. So, and that's because you just said the theology has been wrong. So we have to get in there and fight.
So it's not just Republican, Democrat, is it? Because see, those positions of authority. Hey, Jared, real quickly, go to Webster's for me, please. Folks, I'm just doing train consciousness here. Somebody wants to jump in, they can. Jared, what's principality? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. It's a sovereign, supreme power, principality. A prince. That's why they call it a principality. One invested with sovereignty. The territory of a prince. The country which gives title to a prince. Superiority, predominance. So a principality. Folks, this is so hard for us to understand. That the demonic world is set up in like a military. I wish I had a military guy in here a little bit smarter than me, but I believe that all around the world, America has different principalities set up, meaning different military branches headed up by a man or a group. There may be the European principality or American forces. There may be the American forces in the Middle East. There may be, and those are what we would call principalities, in that they are a prince, because they're not the king. They're under the authority of a king, right? And so the government would be the king, and then the military out there is a principality. They're in control of that area. Hey, folks, the devil works just like that. The prince of Persia. You ever heard of the prince of Persia? It's because this demonic army structure is real. Yeah, Larry?
You know, you, that's a mic drop that, you know, we wrestle not against people, but against principalities. Because even we, our individual selves, each of those listening on or watching the huddle right now, we serve a higher power. Our principality is of the kingdom of God. Every person in a leadership position in a country's governmental organization, every single person is serving somebody. And Amen. If it's not God Almighty through Jesus Christ, it's not that person that we are wrestling against. It is the power that controls him. Nobody controls themselves.
Everybody is controlled by somebody. So ask yourself this, my dear friends. Who controls Washington? Now, time out. Who's it supposed to be? We the people. Okay, so just yesterday, my other senator, Ohio, he's not mine. Our senator here in Ohio, Rob Portman, just voted against Trump's border emergency. Rob Portman. And my wife was asking me this morning, we were discussing it. My wife said, well, we have to do something about that. What can we do about it? There's your mic drop. Rob Portman just got reelected. He's not going to be up again for 4 years. What can we do about it? The answer is nothing. Because, see, we are supposed to be in control of the government. We are, but we're not in control of the government. There's some principality or power that's above us, we the people, that is controlling everything that's going on in America. And I believe that is the forces. That is the deep state. Those are the forces that Donald Trump is fighting against. Think about George Bush and his daddy. They were part of this secret society at Yale. What were they called? It doesn't matter. These are principalities and powers. These are spiritual entities gaining workers for their earthly work. You follow me? I'm gonna show you. I'm gonna show you a video. Jared, go to my Facebook page. This is amazing. This is amazing. Skull and Bones. Thank you. Thank you, Greg. Skull and Bones. Jared, go to my Facebook page. Hey, there I am. How you doing, Coach? This is astonishing. It says astonishing footage uncovered. This is Justice Antonin Scalia before he was on the Supreme Court. It's 1994, I believe. It's before he's on the Supreme Court. Now, remember, principalities and powers. And the idea that we have this falsehood that we are in control of our government because we vote. We vote, so therefore we control our government. But we have, if truth be told, we have no recourse at all against our government. Now, I want you, this is about 3 minutes. This is Judge Scalia before he is on the Supreme Court. Boys and girls, this is profound. Go ahead, Jared.
We've come a long way. We've gotten over a lot of problems. But the fact remains that there is a widespread, deep feeling of powerlessness in the country. One sees it on every side with respect to many issues, not just the budget issues. The people do not feel that their wishes are observed. They're heard, but they're not observed, particularly at the federal level. The basic problem is simply that the Congress has become professionalized. It has an interest much higher than ever existed before in remaining in office. It has a bureaucracy that is serving it. It is much more subject to the power of individualized pressure groups as opposed to the.
Listen, folks, this is critical, too. He just says it has a bureaucracy that's serving it. See, that's the deep state. That is those who are trained in the Kennedy Law School of Government and Harvard and Yale. All of these people that are being trained in these elite universities become the deep state bureaucrats that we have no control over. Go ahead.
The unorganized feelings of the majority of the citizens, all of these reasons have created this feeling, which is real and which I think has a proper basis of powerlessness. One remedy for that, the one specifically provided in the Constitution, is this amendment process which bypasses the Congress. I would like to see that amendment process used. Just having it used once will exert an enormous influence upon both the Congress and the Supreme Court, I think. That the Congress is simply unwilling to give attention to many issues which it knows the people are concerned with, and which issues involve restrictions upon the federal government's own power. I think the founders foresaw that, and they provided this method in order to enable a convention to remedy that. The alternative is continuing with a system that provides no means of obtaining a constitutional amendment except through the kindness of the Congress, which has demonstrated that it does not want to have any other way to get a constitutional amendment. The Congress knows that the people want more fiscal responsibility, but it is unable to provide it.
I've talked about the need for a convention because somehow the federal legislature has gotten out of our control and there's nothing we can do about it. One can say the same thing about the federal judiciary. And that's one reason I'm willing to take the chance, in order to have a convention, take the chance of some doubts that now exist. I'm not sure how much longer we have. I am not sure how long a people can accommodate itself to directives from a legislature that it feels is no longer responsive, and to directives from a life tenured judiciary that was never meant to be responsive, without ultimately losing its sense of control of its own destiny. We are all sitting breathless, waiting for the Supreme Court to tell us what our fundamental beliefs are with respect to this particular issue, without having a hope of getting anything done about it if the Supreme Court should find that our fundamental beliefs are in fact different from what our fundamental beliefs are. We have no recourse. There's not a whit of a chance that the Congress will overturn any decision that the Supreme Court comes down with in the Weber case. And unless this alternative method of amending the Constitution is adopted, we will continue to live under that kind of what I consider inanely non-democratic system. It is just foolish to sit wringing one's hands, wondering what the Supreme Court is going to tell us our fundamental Constitution requires. If the only way to remove us from utter bondage to the Congress is to take what I think to be a minimal risk on this limited convention, then let's take it.
Okay, he's talking about a constitutional convention, and I don't want to get into that debate, but see, that's exactly what the issue is, right? So the government becomes government of the government, by the government, and for the government, and we're on the outside. I don't want to get into that. Thank you, Lord, for stopping me there. So there it is, right? This is before Scalia is on the court. He said, we're waiting for the courts to tell us what our beliefs are, what we believe. We're waiting on the courts to tell us whether homo marriage is okay or not okay. We're waiting on the courts to tell us that. We're waiting on the courts to tell us whether it's okay to murder a baby or not murder a baby. So if the courts tell us it's okay to murder a baby, well, then it's okay to murder a baby. If the courts say you can't murder a baby, well, then you can't murder a baby. It's craziness, see, but it's demonic. It's a controlled principality above we the people. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, my son's in the Secret Service, and I got to go to Washington, D.C. for his graduation, all that mess. And, Coach, I'm going to tell you something. I'm just a little country boy, and I got a tour of the U.S. Capitol and through Marco Rubio. And when I went in there, Coach, you know, I went in there looking. I was looking for things that were evil. I knew the Masonic was really large up there and in charge. But when I got in the Capitol building, I got up under the rotunda, and I looked up at that picture up there, and I saw all the gods, little g, and all the goddesses. Have Jared, if he would, pull up the apotheosis of George Washington and have him show all those images of the gods and goddesses that's at our Capitol. Because when I first looked up and I seen what I saw there, Coach, I saw that trident that Neptune holds there. When I saw that, it blowed me out of the pond. And the Lord dropped in my spirit, Revelation chapter 2, I know where Satan dwells. I know where his seat is. And I'm telling you, Coach, it's right there at our U.S. Capitol. That's the most powerful building on the planet. And then I got a tour into this old Senate chamber, and there's George Washington in a painting from 1785, his second term when he was in office. And guess who was above him? Zeus. I got it right here on my phone. I can show it to you. And that's what's hanging in our Capitol right now. Coach, and nobody said anything. Can you imagine the Christians just walked in there and seen all this? No preacher, no Christian, nobody said a thing about it.
Principalities and powers, right? Principalities and powers, authorities in the spiritual realm that we do not understand. Folks, can I ask you a very simple question? How do you get elected? How could a guy like me get elected to Senate? How? What is that process that I could run and win the U.S. Senate? Oh, yeah. Even, hey, House. I ran for the House. How do you get elected? You see, you're not elected. You're selected. There's a group of people who can decide if you go. Oh, man. Why do you think they hate Trump? He is part of that selected system, see? And if I go try to, you think they're going to let me win? You think they're going to let me win? Come on, man. Why? Because there are forces out. Hang on, Benny, hang on. I'm going to tell you this. Some of them don't even know they're being controlled, okay? Can somebody explain to me how this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, have you guys watched the video? Have you watched the video about who is behind her? Oh, well, Jared's got it up there right now, I think. Boy, Jared, if you can somehow, there's a video associated with that. Blew me away. The principalities and, yes. Jared, put that in the, it's 23 minutes and it's worth every second of watching it as this guy shows you how she got into power. Because she is not, she was selected, folks. By who?
Benny. Was part of a casting call, brother. She was part of a casting call out of 10,000 actresses.
That's right. Now, why did they want her there? Why did they want her there, see?
Because she's completely controllable.
How did she go from a total, complete unknown to beating the most senior, what was he, number three in line? Number three in line in the house, the guy that she beat. And did you know this, folks? Are you ready for this one? She's all the rage. She's the conscience of the Democratic Party. Yada yada. You know she wants. She got like, I'm not making this up. She got like 20,000 votes. I mean, 20 in her district. She got 20,000 people to vote for. I think that's what it is. You could look it up. I could be wrong. Let's say it's 200,000. She got 200,000 votes. Somebody got somebody, put her into power. She wins this district with 200,000 votes, which ain't nothing. And now she's the conscience? Who's making her the conscience? Can't we see what's going on?
Hey, Coach, it's not somebody. Yeah. It's George Soros.
Well, it's just there's power behind George Soros. Yes. There's a power behind him.
Of course
there is. Come on, folks. There's a power behind George Soros. Principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. We're principalities, powers. Jared, what's a power? Let's go back there. I'm sorry, man. I don't know how my wife lives with me.
Hey, Coach, it's not just the power that is behind these people, but look at the people that are in their district. These people are so mind-camped. They are so controlled. You look at Nancy Pelosi's district. And see the people that are in her district. She's up there by San Francisco. Brother, these people are all bent on demonicism in their life. So it's not just these people, not just the people behind it, but look at the people who are voting for them.
But, well, that's they condition us, so we vote for it, right? And they're gonna try to take over. As sure as I'm here, they're trying to give us socialism. Why? Because, folks, please, socialism demands the elimination of religion. That's what socialism is. And if you ever noticed that in Washington, D.C., they honor Buddha and they honor Islam and they honor Mormon, Christianity. No. We ain't going to have any of that in our schools. The majority religion in America, 76%, probably higher, 76% of people would call themselves Christian, the majority religion, and it's not taught in our schools, but Islam's taught in our schools under cultural diversity and Buddha. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? When are we going to wake up and understand that there are dark forces that are not just people that are controlling the people? God works through people. Somebody come in my...
Well, Coach, it's more like a spiritual lobotomy. A lot of people have had that procedure done, and they're the people that are sold out because it's almost like they're spiritless. You can see it in their eyes, and you can hear it in their voice. But it's the people, you can take them, you can love them, and you can take them the word, but there's nowhere to put it because they don't have a spirit no more. It's a lobotomy. They've been lobotomized spiritually.
That's right. And as always, what's my complaint? I could do a 6-month series in church on this issue right here. Do we talk about it at all? Does the average person understand mind control and how this has gone on? And See, because we have forgotten, not only have we forgotten God, but because we have failed to acknowledge the dark forces, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, because we've denied him and acted like he's not there, how do you fight a foe you don't believe in? How do you do that? And so part of what's going on, oh my goodness, is Jesus told us not to be ignorant of his devices. And we don't even believe in him. We believe he's got a red tail and a pitchfork. He's the Easter bunny. That's what they've done. The greatest weapon the devil has used is to convince us he doesn't exist. He doesn't exist. How do you fight somebody you don't believe exists? Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. So that's part of the cognitive dissonance that we were talking about yesterday. Now, Jared, let's go back to my Facebook page because we watched Scalia. Jared, scroll down, brother. Scroll down.
Hey, Coach.
Right there, Jared. Yes.
I found Father Malachi Martin, one of his, he had a lot of interviews. But Father Malachi Martin in the 90s, he was always talking about, you know, Satan, Lucifer in the Vatican. And this guy eventually died in 99 when he got pushed down some steps. But this guy, he was Catholic and he was Jesuit, but he stepped away from his Jesuit vows. And he was trying to bring the truth. He used to do the exorcisms. But Dr. Malachi Martin, I found it there on YouTube. It's about Lucifer.
Victor, you know what? We're supposed to be doing the deliverances. We're supposed to be doing it.
Amen.
But we don't even believe in it to do it. So I have to show you this. This is longer than I want to show you. Jared, maybe you can double speed this thing or three-quarters of it. This is going on right now in Texas. Exactly. I don't know if Chad and those guys went down there yesterday. It's 5 minutes. Listen to this dad talking about his son. They're at 6 years old, they're trying to get his son to be trans. Oh my goodness! To go through sex manipulation to become a woman. Just listen to this. Go ahead, Jared.
Christian, we just got into Great Lent. We're approaching the holy days of Easter. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. God forgives. I forgive. May God forgive us all. Is that better? All right, get your phone out. Go to savejames.com and follow along with this. You're not going to believe half this. You're going to have to check it out. 6 years and 10 months ago, the good Lord gave me two sons. I named them James and Jude after the brothers of Jesus. They were baptized and dedicated to a life in Christ. My ex-wife, Ann Georgelis, she's a pediatrician in Coppell, Texas, divorced me. She got primary custody of the children. And starting around the age of two, she began saying that James was really a girl. My son started telling me that he had a girl's brain in a boy's body. When he got older, Ann Georgelis registered my son James in school in the Coppell School District, Pinkerton Elementary. He's known there by a fake girl named Luna. He uses the girl's bathroom. He wears a dress. All of his authority figures tell him he's a girl, except me. Yet James has never, not once, ever, come to me and presented it to himself as a girl. He's always a boy with me. He's a normal roughhousing boy. In fact, his favorite activity is wrestling and boxing, and he's a darn good boxer, I'll tell you that. Now, Ann Georgelis also enrolled James when he was 5 years old into a clinic, the Genesis Clinic, and they do sex change operations on children in Dallas, Texas. I see some of you don't believe that. Get your phones out. GENECIS Clinic in Dallas, Texas. And you'll see pictures of children they have done sex change surgeries on. He's on something called the Dutch Protocol, and it's a three-step walk to hell. Here's how it works. Number one, they socially transition the child. They've already done that to my son. He's presented as a girl to the world when he's with his mother, although he's always a boy with me. Number two, they suppress puberty with extremely strong hormone drugs that castrate males, make them infertile, and halt the growth of their sexual organs. That can happen as early as 8 years old. My son's got about 2 years.
and I'm struggling to make this practice illegal in the state of Texas. As early as 15, he can be surgically transitioned. They will remove his penis, create a fake vagina. He will be condemned to a life of banishment, despair, and up to, depending on the stats you look at, up to 60% of post-op transsexuals commit suicide. That's the life Ann Georgialis has in mind for my son. I resisted it with everything I had, all my money, all my time, everything. So she went to court. She filed a motion to effectively terminate my parental rights. Here's what she's asked the court to do. Jail me if I say James is a boy or present him as a boy to any of you. To jail me if I refuse to attend transgender ideology education classes or if I fail to satisfy the transgender instructor of that class. And I assure you, I would never satisfy such an instructor. Jail me if I use male pronouns for my son or allow others to do so. She also asked the court to jail me if I don't pay for all this, because currently in the state of Texas, that's all considered medical child support, and I'll go to prison for it. I'm currently under court orders, temporary orders, and injunction from the court that prevents me from presenting my son as a boy to anybody who's ever known him as a girl. They have also issued prior restraints on my parental speech. And everyone here should know prior restraints on speech are totally unconstitutional. The federal courts are virtually unanimous, going all the way back to founding this country on that. I cannot try to convince my son that he is a boy. Now that means I've been unable to teach him traditional Christian teachings on sexuality and gender, and I can't let him go to Sunday school because in my church, pretty much like yours, we teach this as just men and women. Now they want to keep all this secret. They've tried to use gag orders on me. They've tried to seal the court records. They've enacted those prior restraints. Psychologists have threatened me with losing my child if I dare to go public with this and tell you my child's real name is James instead of Luna. But you need to know what's happening in the darkness. This is happening in family courts all over the state now. My son's just the tip of the spear. So we need to fight this. And they're coming for my son, that's for sure. It won't be long before they're coming for your children. If you go to savejames.com, you can see lots of quotes from parents where they got this stuff at day camps, summer camps, daycare, and at school. It's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. Well, thank you for listening, caring.
There you go, Jared. You can cut that off. Folks, this is dark. This is demonic. You understand that? Folks, do you understand that the medical centers of America are the same Harvard, Yale, Columbia, Cornell, the same experts in government are the same experts in medicine?
Coach?
Yeah.
I think I just realized that the medical, that this pharmaceutical, or this whole medical thing, they're all into Baphomet worship. That's the only thing that explains it.
Okay, so Vince, explain to those who don't know what you just said. What's a Baphomet?
Baphomet is the androgynous god. It's a body that exemplifies both male and female aspects.
So would we say it's a principality in power? Would we say that? Okay. So we're talking about the same thing. So we have regional demonic forces, but we also have, for lack of a better term, subject demonic forces, right? Come on, man. Think about how our American society is organized and understand that the devil is a counterfeit. So the devil comes up with everything that is good. He comes up with a counterfeit that is bad. But see, if we just think it's Republican and Democrat, if that's all the deeper we go, we're missing that we will never win this battle. If that's what we think it is.
Amen, Coach. You know what it is?
And sadly, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I've been railing about Disney ruining a bunch of franchises like Marvel Comics and the Star Wars franchise. We need to learn to say one thing. Your money's no good here. That's the problem. Your money's no good here. They've been ruining stuff, and they're just going to keep ruining stuff. We let them keep buying in.
You ready, Vinny?
Yes.
Your money's no good, period.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's part of it. You understand how we could be $21 trillion in debt and continue to go on other than, which is craziness, that the borrower is a servant to the lender. We understand that, and we're in debt. We don't. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. It's just I can't tell you how clear it is. I can't get it. And so sadly, what's my problem? This stuff's never talked about in church. Ever, 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 ever. Amen. The only one that can oppose this darkness is the church, and it's never talked about. We don't even know. Yeah.
That the update on James was on the 28th, they went to court, and the lawyers had to back down because the evidence that they were going to present, it didn't rise to the level that they needed to win the case. So Save James gets to be a boy another day. I don't know when they're going to reactivate that thing or what, but it was canceled.
Vic, here's the bigger story. They ain't just after St. James. Don't you understand that?
I know that.
And so where are they going to get St. James to have this surgery? Oh, to the courts. The courts. Oh, okay. They're going to go to the courts. Well, golly, who controls the courts?
I
get it. I get it. So no matter where you turn, you are not turning to a godly source or godly influence.
Well, Dave, and the other thing is they don't stop. They don't let one defeat stop them.
No, that's right, buddy. They don't. They don't. Nope. And so, again, I guess the theme of I'm trying to I feel a little frustrated here this morning because to me it's so obvious.
Don't be frustrated. You got the point across, bro.
That's not what I'm frustrated about, Denny. What I'm frustrated about is there's no reason we're losing. People are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. People don't know. And there's no reason why they don't know.
Sure it is, Coach.
Other than those they go to for information, filter it. That's it, man. Hey, listen, you know what I think? I think there is an element in America, of people in America, who are eating their pedivores. I'm telling you, you think I'm crazy? If you don't believe that, I don't know what to tell you. Pedivores. What do you mean pedivores? Yeah. Ped, child, eat, vore. Yeah, I believe that.
Exactly.
Pedivore. But you know why we don't believe that? Because we don't believe in the devil and darkness. We don't understand how deep and dark someone, they wouldn't do that. Are you kidding me?
Coach?
What? I can't believe people inject stuff into their arms, but they do it. I can't believe people drink 15 beers and get in the car and drive, but they do it. I can't believe men run around and have sex with other women, but they do it. And that's just minimal stuff. But if you get into deep, 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 dark forces, you can't believe they're eating people, drinking blood. You can't believe that?
Coach, they're being incurious about it. They joke about it. They joke about how the devil does this.
They joke about it. That's right. That's right. Vampire. Yeah, vampire.
They won't give him credit for all the evil crap he's really involved in.
Because we don't believe in evil and the devil. We don't. Somebody, come on. So far, it's been me, the Victor, and the Vinny show. Let's get rid of the V's. Anybody else want to get in here?
You know, when you believe something, you actually act on it. You believe a Coke will give you a Coke, so you put money in it. If you really believe these things, I mean, there's a difference between knowing and believing. And when you believe something, you act on it. And the churches, the people that sitting in those false churches, satanic social clubs, they don't have any chance to believe this stuff because they're not even told about it to know about it. And then they don't change from the knowing to the believing stage.
So if we were to go ask the average Christian sitting in the pew, what's Satan's job? What do you think their response would be? I'll give you mine. Steal my joy. Come after my finances. That's about as deep as we go with it. tell the devil's trying to kill me. Really? So his whole goal is to kill you? Hey, dude, God love you, but you ain't that big a deal. He's after world conquest. And so you're doing some stuff. You're doing some stuff that's causing the devil a little bit of headache. All right. Well, he ain't worried about you. He's got bigger fish to fry. Now, there might be demons coming after you. There may be other stuff that's influencing you. I'm going to tell you, the devil is not like God in that he's omniscient, omnipresent, and omni, what's the other one? The devil can only be one place at one time. That's where he can be. So if you're getting spiritually harassed, it ain't the devil that's doing it. It's one of his minions. It's one of his organization that are impacting you. Or you're just opening your door up to stuff getting into your life that you shouldn't let into your life. So they taught that? You have any idea how to fight it? You taught about it? Can we look at Washington? Do you mean to tell me you don't think that some of those people in Washington, D.C. are demonically possessed? You don't believe that? You can't look at some of those leaders? You can't look at them and say, man, they're of the devil? Well, they really are.
Coach, did they all forget about when they signed the let's kill babies after they're born from the womb in New York, and they cheered? They just scored a goal? What the heck? Yeah, I mean, come on. Yep. That's exactly what it is.
That's what we're – and we don't even know we're dealing with that. Somebody else, come on in here.
Coach, look at all the wars we fought here, and you look at the last stuff we've been dealing with, of course, the Middle East, and you look at the suicide rate, and you think about it. These boys and women of ours that's going over there, if they're not saved and born again, if not filled with the Holy Ghost, they're walking around places where Daniel was at, King David, and all the devils from hell they had to fight. Listen, some of the most wickedest demons that's on this planet's in the Middle East. And you look at the suicide rate of these young guys today that's been walking around over there, and they're not saved and born again. They come back here and they're killing themselves like crazy.
Alan, that's because we are participants in a cosmic war. It's not the devil's come to us. We are drawn into a cosmic war. The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. It's playing out right?
Amen. Amen. It's a sad situation. You know, one of the number one things Jesus told his disciples to do, first thing out of his mouth, was cast out devils. That's never preached anymore, period, anywhere.
It's never preached at all anymore. I feel bad because I haven't got in much of the Bible today. But I'm going to show you. I got 8 minutes left. I'm going to show you this real quickly. We were talking yesterday about ethics, morals and ethics. Can't use the word morals anymore because morals are individual. System of morality. Talk about ethics, which is a standard everybody agrees on. If you have ethical standards, everybody agrees with it. There's a moral basis to it. But an ethical standard would be one man, one woman for life. That would be an ethical standard. You don't do harm to anybody that you do no harm. That's an ethical standard, right? It's morality based, but it's a place where we draw a line. We say, don't do this. No, don't do that. Don't do that. In fact, we're not going to let you do that. In fact, we're not going to let you make a law legalizing that because this is our ethical standard. We're not going to do that. Now, you personally don't think murder is wrong. That's okay. That's your moral view. But your moral view does not hold sway over our ethical standard. You understand the difference, folks? Making that clear? And because they not only have they destroyed our morality, they've changed our ethical standards. Marriage isn't even marriage anymore. Family isn't even family anymore. Right isn't even right anymore. The universal beliefs that we used to have, our ethical standards, no longer exist. So I'm going to play this lighthearted, Jared. Where did I send that to you? Man, I know I did. Butch Cassidy. I'm looking for Butch Cassidy, Jared. Do you see it? Oh, don't tell me I did that again. I sent it to you yesterday. See if you can find it yesterday. I put it in there, but I think I connected the wrong link to it, Jared. Ah, I can't believe I did that. You finding it? Somebody can come on in there while he's looking at it, because this is when he finds it. Yeah, okay, now hang on. Now look, folks, look. This is it. This is modern. This is a great movie, by the way. This is where we are, okay? No ethical standards. Right? No ethical standards. Anything goes. Go ahead and play this two and a half minute clip.
Hole in the wall gang struck.
Butch Cassidy's hole in the wall gang. That's me. Idaho bank of over close to $20,000. You want Harvey to do your planning for you? You want him to do your thinking for you? You want him to run things? You can shut up now, news.
Oh, not yet till I get the good part, Butch. Also known to have participated in the holdup are Flat-Nosed Curry and News Carver. I just loved reading my name in the paper, Butch.
Okay, so we just forget about Logan taking over, okay, Flat-Nosed?
Well, you always said that any one of us could challenge you, Butch.
Well, it's because I figured no one would do it.
Figured wrong, Butch.
You guys can't want Logan!
Well, at least he's with us, Butch. You've been spending a lot of time gone.
Well, that's because everything's different now.
Guns or knives,
Butch? It's harder now. You gotta plan more. You gotta prepare more.
Guns or knives?
Neither.
Pick!
I don't want to shoot with you, Harvey.
Anything you say, Butch.
Maybe there's a way to make a profit in this. Bet on Logan.
I would, but who'd bet on you? Sundance. When we're done, if he's dead, you're welcome to stay.
Listen, I don't mean to be a sore loser, but when it's done, if I'm dead, kill him.
Love to.
Great scene.
No, no, not yet. Not until me and Harvey get the rules straightened out.
Rules? In a knife fight? No rules.
Well, if there ain't gonna be any rules, let's get the fight started. Someone count 1, 2, 3, go.
1, 2, 3, go.
I was really rooting for you, Butch.
Well, thank you, Flat-Nosed.
There you go. There you go. No rules in a knife fight. No rules in a knife fight. And the other side has no rules, and we're following rules.
We're playing by Queensbury rules, Coach, while these stab us right in the head.
No rules in a knife fight, buddy. No rules in a knife fight. So that's what's happened with our ethical standards, see? And the whole Saul Alinsky thing making you live up to our standards while they have no standards. Making us live up to our morality while they have no morality. How do you win a knife fight like that? That's the cultural war. That's the battle that lies before us. Somebody help me wrap this thing up.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Just a little reminder, we're going to the clinic on Schrock and Carl Road tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Anybody wants to come? I know Richard sometimes does. I'll get a hold of Richard today, and then we'll all head down after that down to Lancaster.
All right, man. We'll see you down there. Got a good crowd of us there, and going to be a great weekend for sure.
Dave, I think there's going to be a time coming when we're going to be around churches and people and pastors, and the pastor is going to say, do this, and some men are going to have to step up and say, you can follow him or you can follow me.
That's right.
This is, you know, there's going to come a divide because the pastors are not willing to hand-to-hand combat things. And it's going to be necessary, I think. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know when it will be. But there is no way we're going to avoid physical confrontation.
No way, Roger. You know what? I'll never forget. When I quit coaching, I can't remember when it was, however many years it was ago. I got a nice little card from a guy that I'd coached against. Let's just leave it at that. You know what he said? In a nutshell, he said, one thing I knew is every time we came to play your teams, we were in for a fight because your team was always prepared. Church prepared? Pastor, is your church prepared? Is your team prepared? Do they have it? They don't even understand the stinking game. They think it's Republican, Democrat, Trump. Up there, on and on and on. I could go on and on and on.
Hey, Coach.
What? Yeah.
It's time to quit playing church.
It's time to quit playing church, brother. We're in a war. It's time we started acting like it. God bless you. Got to run. See you on Monday.